We're going to lead you all in a familiar song. Why don't you stay standing, since we've been sitting for a while and we've got another 2 hours to go. Stay standing. We're going to lead you in a song that should be familiar in English, and which will help you be more familiar while we sing it in Spanish. So we're going to sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, in English. Please join us if you feel like it. Then we're going to lead it in Spanish with the words on the screen. If you want to sing it that first time around, feel free. But we're going to sing it in Spanish a second time, and feel free to join us. And we can make it a pretty quick tempo if you want to get through it. So I think we can all handle it. So everybody good? All right.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Abre mis ojos, oh Cristo. Abre mis ojos, te pido, yo quiero verte, yo quiero verte. Abre mis ojos, oh Cristo, abre mis ojos, te pido, yo quiero verte, yo quiero verte. Y contemplar tu majestad y el resplandor de tu gloria. Derrama tu amor y poder cuando cantamos santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Yo quiero verte.
Okay, you're ready to join us now.
Abre mis ojos, oh Cristo, abre mis ojos, te pido, yo quiero verte, yo quiero verte. Abre mis ojos, oh Cristo, abre mis ojos, te pido, yo quiero verte, yo quiero verte. Y contemplar tu majestad y el resplandor de tu gloria. Derrama tu amor y poder cuando cantamos santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, 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 yo quiero verte.
Great job. Okay, you can be seated.
And we will give you an extra 10 minutes. Not a whole hour.
All right, I gotta get my notes ready here, sorry. We're really working Dan hard today, missionary slideshows. Man, right? I was gonna ask Jerry to never ask me to follow Kiara again until she said how much it meant to her that the church would send her, how much it changed her life, and it is true, missions is all about changing lives, not just to the people that are being ministered to, but those who are going. So, you're forgiven. Thank you for having us here. It's great to be here and see so many of you. I also want to express my family's thanks for your support of us, for your prayers, for your involvement and partnership in our ministry to Ecuador. Most of you know us, but for those who don't, we are as the next picture will show, Mark and Ruth Lands with our sons Nathan and Caleb. So you recognize that they're with us. You probably figured that out, but we very much appreciate how the church has taken care of us and been involved. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but every year the church has actually increased the support for us. And we notice that, and we thank you, and we just appreciate that, and all the individuals who are also partnering with us in keeping us there. We're in our nice soccer uniforms there, which we don't play soccer, but we got to support the team. I'm the only one really dressed in anything somewhat Ecuadorian. I thought about dressing up as the next picture would show. For a couple of reasons, I didn't. One is you probably wouldn't have heard a single word of the message, being distracted. And two, we don't really minister to a people group like this in Ecuador, though this is an Ecuador tribesman. We tend to minister to people who dress kind of more like us. So it didn't really seem too appropriate to dress that way. But Caleb liked this photo and wanted to have everybody see the man with the feather in his nose. So that's probably about the funniest part. I don't have any sweat stories or Jerry's attitude stories and stuff. So hopefully you got your good laughter out of that one. Okay, more of a missions presentation than a sermon, but I do want to base our time on the scripture. Part of the message this morning will be the scripture reading that was led already. We're going to look at these three verses just real briefly from Psalm 107, 1 through 3. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord." I'm reading out of the NIV for my version here. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." And I love this psalm. I've read it, I don't know how many times, and if it's happened to you, you've read over a passage several times, and then one time, something hooks you. The Holy Spirit just really opens your eyes to it. And recently, this one hit me. This is such a great psalm of gospel and of mission. And it starts out with the heart of all of it, the heart of everything we do. It's just worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His love endures forever. We're just praising God, and that's what we're here to do this morning. And anytime mission, evangelism, church becomes something less than for the worship of God, it's missing the point. And so our psalm starts off with, just give thanks to God, for he's good. And so how does the goodness demonstrate? What this writer really zoomed in on mission and gospel. And we're going to look at just real briefly these verses. I encourage you to read the rest of the psalm. It's a little bit long, which is why we're not doing the whole thing. If I were preaching an actual sermon, I would love to go through it more. But the rest of the psalm tells of four categories or four different stories of people who God redeemed. And I'm guessing that almost everyone here could relate to something of one of those stories. I know I did, so I'd encourage you to go back through and read that. But I'm just going to look at the verses 2 and 3 in a little bit detail and then move on to how it relates, give a little bit of framework for the message. And we're going to move backwards here. So verse 3 says, "Those he gathered from the lands, from east, from west, north, and south." Remember, this is a Jewish probably man writing sometime around the time of King David. It wasn't attributed to David himself, but it struck me, and it was this verse that really first caught my attention when I was reading it. That's what God's doing. This is missions. He's gathering people from all around the world. We are some of these people that he's gathered from, I guess for us it would be the West. But that's what missions is, God gathering people to himself from all around the world. And this psalm writer back in Hebrew days, thousands of years ago, got that and was reflecting on God's goodness and his love in that aspect. And then verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Before we do that, sorry, it's not moving backwards very well. "Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe." That is the gospel. That is what missions is about. And sometimes we forget about this foe, this enemy, as the other translation said. And I'm not going to deal with it a lot, but that gives us a little bit of framework about what I'm going to talk about with our being in Ecuador, specific region of Ecuador that you're going to hear about. And an enemy, if we think about it, is really anything that draws our focus away from Christ, our focus away from worshiping the one true God and giving thanks to him. And so we're going to look a little bit about what this foe looks like in Ecuador where we minister. And this is the gospel. It's the redemption from the foe. And every one of you who's redeemed, any one of us who's redeemed, we know that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And if you have never experienced that, or if you don't know really what that is that we're talking about, talk to me afterwards, because first part of verse 2 is all about what missions and the gospel is. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And I love that because it doesn't take a seminary degree. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a pastor. If you're redeemed, tell your story. Sometimes that's as simple as that, and we all have our stories. If you've been redeemed, you have a story. We have a story to share about how God's using us to bring the gospel to Ecuador, and I will share a couple of brief stories from people from Ecuador who can't tell their story to you, but that is missions. That's really what it is. It's worshiping God by telling our story of how he redeemed us. So how are we doing that? We are in Loja, Ecuador. It's the southern part of Ecuador. Okay, this is probably review. I am going to go quickly through a lot of this stuff, but so that we can review, in what continent is Ecuador? That's a little hint. I'm just helping you along so we don't take too long. South America, that's right. The equator does run through Africa, but we're in South America. So Loja is the state or province, almost the most southern part, borders Peru, and that is the location where we are. It's the city and the state, so it's like New York. There's a city and the state, so we'll talk a little bit about the city and the state both. And so why are we there? As a province, about 0.1% people are trusting in Christ alone for their salvation, as what we would describe as an evangelical Christian. That's of a population of about 500,000 people. It is growing, the number of believers in the city of Loja, but in the province, it's actually a lot less than that. So as an average, just for the province, there's less than 0.1%. So 1 in 1,000 people have this message of redemption. And it's really this part of Ecuador, one of the least evangelized regions in all of South America. Why is that? Because as the next slide shows, and we're going to show you a couple of pictures of this spiritual, there's several reasons, but this being the primary one, and relates back to this idea of being redeemed from the foe. The foe that's at work, the enemy that's at work down there, is this spiritual bondage with animistic worship to the Virgin of El Cisne. I call it animistic worship because it really all relates to people praying to the Virgin Mary for their good life, so that they avoid bad things and they have good things happening to them. It's not even really about worship. It's about their own benefits. And we have to be careful that we don't see God in that way as well. What can he do for me? And how can he make my life good? That's not worship. It's really no different than animism of praying to the spirits and saying, oh, I hope my life goes okay. And I hope I can get healed from this problem and make me wealthy. And that's not worship. It's just animism when you address the spirits in that way. And that's what happens. So we have this Virgin of El Cisne statue, an idol. The pictures will show that, how they feel about her. It is endorsed by the Catholic Church. It really has Catholic theology and doctrine. I shouldn't say theology. There's nothing too much about God in this. But it's really a representation of Mary in a doll form so that they can have something to look at and think about. And that's what an idol is it brings your worship into a specific point. And while their theology would not say we worship Mary, we venerate, they changed the word, but the actions, as you'll see, are just that. The reason it's called Virgin of El Cisne is because the town that the church is in, and the town that she made this miraculous appearance more than 500 years ago, is the little tiny town of El Cisne. And they have this enormous church that is really just all about her. They do have Mass, they have Catholic services and weddings, and they do all the churchy stuff. But the whole point of this is that people will come and pray to the Virgin for their miracles and come to offer their thanks to her for things that she's done. And we have a picture of people on their knees walking up to the altar where the idol is up on top of the statue. This might be a reminder for most of you, or if you've been keeping up with our newsletters, we'll kind of mention some of those things. But I wanted to, again, put this out there as a reminder of what the enemy is doing, because this is the enemy of the gospel and the mission in Ecuador, because this is what they worship. They have no relationship with God through Christ. They have a relationship with this doll. So much so that every year, 1 million people or more will walk this doll for 4 days from the little tiny town of El Cisne, up in the mountains, through a valley, back up into the mountains again 4 days later, every year with a crowd this size, just to honor this doll and to try to get more blessing. Because if they can
do this procession, she owes them a bit more blessing in the year to come. So our vision, because of this foe, this enemy in this area, and the reason that this place is so unbelieving in Christ and not having no relationship with Jesus, came to us as we were preparing to go on the field. And in Romans 10, 1 and 2, for both of us, became this vision verse for how we feel about this area. And I understand that Paul, in this passage, is talking about the Israelites, but the comparison is just equal in this situation. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. There is a passion, there is a desire, and a zeal there, but not in accordance with knowledge. They don't know the truth of the gospel. So our mission is then to break down the barriers to the gospel to the people of Lohi, Ecuador specifically, through building relationships. So how we did that, we're on our second term, or we just finished up our second term being there. We went in 2010, spent 3 years as our first term, first year being language study and culture. And then the next 2 years of that term, we stepped into some ministries that were already going. Great opportunities in teaching English. University classes, the next pictures just has a couple of conversational classes that we would do, all focused on practicing and teaching English. And what a great opportunity to do missions, because what do when you're trying to speak English? The verb is already there. Speak. You talk. It's all about conversation. And what can you do in that aspect, in that context? Tell your story. You can talk about the Bible. You can talk about things. They want to talk. And so we had great opportunities to share the gospel, to bring the Bible into conversations, and we did make several good relationships with a Bible study even in English. And this was all in Lohi City, the capital where we started. And we hated to leave that ministry, which I'll talk about here in a little bit, but I'll have to plug it out there. English is a great opportunity, and because we've left that vacancy in Lohi City, man, if God's calling you, just go speak some English to people and talk about Jesus. It's an easy ministry to do, and I'm very anxious for it. So we were able to build quite a few relationships. We enjoyed our time there. God called us back for another term that took us there in 2014, last half of 2014. We were planning a 3-year or 4-year term again. I'll give you a little bit of a reason why we're back a little sooner than that toward the end. But I want to give one quick story of two gentlemen from the English Bible study that we did. So the next slide shows a picture of our group at our goodbye party as we were getting ready to leave Lohi and leave the ministries behind. This was a short bit after this experience that I had with Ivan and Javier. Their pictures will, sorry, it's a little bit fuzzy there. These two gentlemen, their story of being redeemed is one that excites me a lot. We've been doing English ministry for a good solid 2 years, and right from the beginning of our time, Javier joined us and was involved in just about every English event that we did, almost every week. He actually heard Ruth talking, speaking English to, I believe it was Nathan, in a hamburger shop there in town. And he, do you speak English? Do you teach English by chance? And she says, well, yeah, matter of fact, we do. Invited him to come to the classes, and for 2 years, we had a relationship built with this guy and became really good friends with him, shared the gospel. He seemed to understand it, but just never took the step. He just had this resistance about it. He thought it was good and nice, but he just didn't want to do anything about it. And then our Bible study was just wrapping up. Ivan had joined us 6 or 8 months or so. He'd been really interested, very interested in studying the Bible, practicing his English, had a lot of questions. And on the very last night of my teaching, the English Bible study, it was my goodbye lesson. We were getting ready to move to the town that I'm going to explain a little bit more about. And we stayed an extra hour and a half, almost 2 hours after the class was done, just talking to these guys. And I finally, after praying for Javier, and you might even remember hearing his name mentioned in some of our newsletters because we'd asked you to pray for him. And so I know you did, because at the end of this Sunday night Bible study, I asked them, my experience with knowing that I'm saved and going to heaven was that I confessed my sins, asked Jesus to come into my heart, believed, and that was it. Would you like to do that? And I was able on my very last Sunday night to lead these two men in a prayer to accept Christ after what felt like for us a really long time. So Ivan and Javier, so thank you for your help and support in their story. So as I mentioned, there was a change that came along. We were happy with these ministries. We were seeing people come to the Lord. There were at least three or four other people, not directly related to us, but through the English ministry and through other SIM ministries, which is our mission organization, coming to the Christ. And we were having a lot of contacts, building great relationships. And God made a big change in our lives. He decided it was time to move our English teaching outside of the city of Loja into the province town of El Cisne. And what do you remember about El Cisne? Heart of the Beast. Somebody said that exactly what we have described it as. That's the town where the idol is. And the quick story on that is the next picture of the young gentleman named Christian. He came to the Lord through the English ministry and the coffee shop ministry that was going while we were gone. We got to know him after we returned from our first home assignment, and he was just excited about his relationship with God, studying the Bible, being discipled by other missionaries, and his English was fantastic, so he got hired to be an English teacher in El Cisne. He invited us to come and help him because we're native English speakers, and ever since the very first opportunity to teach in the school where he was teaching, we felt like God was opening doors to this heart of the beast city, this town, this really small town that so much of the idolatry is based in, so much of the cultural barrier, and this enemy was. The picture actually shows the surprise that we had. The basilica is nestled in this little town. That's most of the town right there. There's a little bit more of it, but you can see that it takes up nearly half of the town. And the school, here's what's amazing, arrows will point, the school was right on the church grounds. It was actually half run by the church. So we were teaching in the parochial school, if you will, of the Catholic Church. And we were invited in, and we were invited to come back and to do more. And it was, tell you what, it was the last place we thought God would move us outside of Loja. We were open to moving outside of Loja. We'd had other invitations to go teach English in other places because schools were just demanding English and lots of need. And none of it ever worked out until this one. And we just felt like that was God's hand in saying, no, I don't want you anywhere else. I want you going here. And we were shocked because, wow, were we prepared? I don't know, but God is doing some work. So we're seeing that. So the next slide, we'll give you just a little geographic picture of kind of where we are. Loja is where we started. It looks like Catamayo is bigger than Loja, but it's not. Loja's 200,000 people. Catamayo is about 25,000 people. But you drive 45 minutes over the mountain, and you get to Catamayo. The reason we decided that we felt like God was moving us to live there was because of the accessibility to places like El Cisne, El Tambo. You might remember that from a few of our newsletters when we first moved. There was a kids club that we joined. The pastor of the church that we were attending, helping him do an English part of it. But that was very much like a VBS weekly, going on with Bible stories. That has since stopped because of changes in the town. But the point was, we were only 45 minutes away from these two places while in Catamayo, and then other strategic places that we're looking for as a mission to move into outside of the city were 45 minutes to a half an hour away. So we really felt like God was moving us out to be able to reach further out. We've got a mission group of about 30 adults, almost all of which live in the city of Loja, 200,000 people, and doing great work, coffee shops, radio, medical, children's ministries, pastoral training, nobody really doing the same thing, but it has for a long time felt very concentrated, and where the gospel really is lacking is in these small province towns. And so God in his grace has moved us out there recently. So in August of last year, we moved to Catamayo to be able to reach out further and change what was going on. So we had new opportunities. It was a very different ministry outlook because we stepped in originally to ministries that were already going and we just picked them up. English ministries had been established. Now we're moving into places where there was really not much happening. A few things with this kids club in El Tambo. The churches in Catamayo were going and we joined and helped them. But the work in El Cisne and the future work that we're looking forward to, we don't know how God's going to open the doors exactly, but English has been a great opportunity to get us into El Cisne. Some of the opportunities include having a baptism at the pool that was at the house that we were renting for a while. That's a whole other story I don't have time for. But what our strategy for this next term, so we do plan to go back at the end of December, just after Christmas. We're going to go back and plan to do a three-year term. And we can look to continue to use the English platform that we've been using. It will be very different in not having English Bible studies and English conversational classes, but basic English classes to make contacts. And that's what has happened in this last 8 months that we were in the town of Catamayo, especially in El Cisne. We were able to teach in the school. We look to go back to do that if the Lord wills and opens those doors. Able to start an English club for kids, 12, 13-year-old group, about 8 or 10 kids that were coming every week. We hope that that will turn into a Bible study with these kids. English camps, we have had two short-term mission teams come out to help us with an all-day camp that was a kind of a VBS-related item, but focusing on English. And just another chance to connect with the community, to serve, to show them that we're there, not just to be in an oddity or to come in and make all these changes, but that we want to serve, and we believe that God's opening the doors to building these relationships in this way. But primarily, Bible studies. We were the fortunate opportunity, and I'll tell two quick stories, getting close to wrapping up here, I promise. The next slide is going to show these gentlemen, Polivio and Jorge. The man in the middle is a pastor from Catamayo whom we work with and are good friends with. We don't attend his church regularly, but we work closely with him. And he had a connection with this gentleman on his right, Polivio, who lives in El Cisne. He would study the Bible with him when he'd go to Catamayo. He had this connection with him, and he introduced us one day as we were living. He asked us, "I know somebody that lives up there. Would you like me to introduce him to you?" And we were just starting to get to know people and start to work up there. We're like, of course, that's what we're here for, especially if he's interested in studying the Bible. So he introduced us to his cousin and neighbor, Jorge, who was also very interested in doing the Bible. They've been discouraged with the Catholic Church. They've moved away from that, understanding the errors and the faults in that. And they have not, thankfully, not been accepting of the teachings of the Jehovah's Witness Church that is, unfortunately, in El Cisne, nor the group of Unitarians who, while they're called solo Jesus, meaning only Jesus, they don't have a Trinitarian view. They don't believe in the Father and the Spirit, and so their theology is very warped, and they have other strange ideas. And fortunately, God's working in these men to let them see, that's not right. Something's not right there. They're not following the Bible. So he introduced us, and through some difficulties and a little bit of prodding and prompting and just faithfulness and going, we've been able to start a Bible study with these two gentlemen. And right now, we're very thankful they're in the capable hands of an Ecuadorian missionary and pastor who's doing that while we're gone. And I'm really excited. Usually August is a kind of a month of vacation, and so I'm excited in the next several weeks to find out how that's been going and how that's continued, because we look to step back into doing a Bible study with these young men. Listen to me. These guys. Well, the next slide is going to be related, and this is the other kind of exciting thing that's been happening. The last little story that I'll tell. One of the things that Polivio specifically wanted when he heard we were up there teaching English at the school, he wanted us to help out his daughter and Jorge's daughter as well, and some of their friends with their English. So he sort of pushed his kids into getting into this little English club. And you can imagine how junior high girls thought about spending an hour practicing English with a 44-year-old guy, you know. And fortunately, they invited some of their friends, and there's some younger guys there. But over, I think it only lasted about 6 months, got really connected with these kids. And so much that they threw me a surprise party sort of as a goodbye. Was that you with me when they did that? Who was with me? Somebody was visiting with me. And they had just this table of food and drink, and the whole place decorated, just a complete surprise. And it was really showed me that the connection and the time spent, even though it was in English, they were connecting and was able to share. So this particular Tuesday afternoon, I think it was, I went up and we were getting ready to go. It was a few weeks left. I knew I'd be leaving, and I wanted to give them a gift to thank them for coming and for their friendship. And the fact that it was a Bible, of course, I want to give that to whomever I can. So I gave him a Spanish-English bilingual version of Gideon's New Testament. And I took this picture after several minutes, because after I gave them this gift and I had told them a little testimony of my own of how important the Bible has been to me and how I read it every day, and I really try to seek God in that, it was at least 5 minutes before they stopped reading it, every single one of them. Eight of these kids, 12, 13 years old, I just sat and watched them turning the pages with intense interest. And so it just really spoke to my heart, and I was glad I was able to get a picture to share what it is at the heart of our ministry. We want to get people in the Word of God because that's what changes their lives. That's the story of God's redemption for us. And as they're interested in that and as they're sharing in that, we are very hopeful and very expectant to see a church plant there. We never thought of ourselves as church planters, going out doing English ministry. Just that didn't really seem to be part of it. But with the change that God's had us doing, and really, we're not doing anything. We're seeing God do some amazing things, and we're just really fortunate to be a part of that. So again, we want to thank you for your joining us in that, for your support of that. And the last little report of what's happening here in Ecuador, as we go back, we've also been nominated, elected, chosen to be team leaders of a small group of SIM missionaries that are focused on outreach. So we'll also be providing leadership as we go back, both in pastoral care and vision and mission in how do we reach out into more places where the gospel just isn't. We do want to partner with the church and find out where there is a desire within the Ecuadorian church to move, but that's going to be all new for us as well. We are really looking as a mission to move out of the city of Loja and get into these smaller places where the radio ministry has been reaching for 15 years, where we know God's been working, and where we're going to continue to see him working as his church grows and builds. And so we ask for your prayers to continue. It is a very, very controlled area by the enemy. As people who have been there and visited can say, it just feels dark, and this enemy is at work, and it's distracting people from the message of being redeemed, because they think as long as they're good enough and as long as Mary's happy with them, they're going to make it to heaven. And we know that it's by grace. And so we're looking to really reach out to these places where they don't have that opportunity to hear that regularly. So be praying for Polivio, for Jorge, that these men can become pillars of a church that will be right in the heart of the beast, the belly of the beast, as we attack this foe, as we bring the gospel to Loja. And we just thank you for your partnership, and God bless you all.